seconds is as long as it takes to recite the Lord's Prayer. We used to say the Lord's Prayer when I was growing up in school, if you can believe it, every day in school. Now, that doesn't happen anymore, although as long as there are tests in school, I'm sure there will be prayer in schools. One of the things that set Jesus apart from others was his prayer life. And Jesus' disciples one day asked him, "Jesus, teach us to pray." I think they observed that Jesus' prayer life was his power source. Something changed when he prayed. And so Jesus responded to his disciples. He said, "Well, when you pray, don't show off to people. Get alone with God and he'll reward you." He talked about a prayer closet. And then he said, "You know, God knows what you need before you pray. Don't think that God is more likely to answer your prayers if you use a lot of words." There are two versions of the Lord's Prayer. One is found in the Gospel of Matthew and one is found in the Gospel of Mark. The one in Matthew is the longer version, but it's only 65 words. It's so short, you can pray it in 30 seconds. So good prayers don't have to be long. Or you can stretch the Lord's Prayer into an hour. And that's what we're going to do today in our service. I've called it the Lord's Prayer Experience. Now, if you're new to our church, this may stretch you. This isn't kind of like the usual way that we do a worship service. But we are going to pray as individuals. We're going to pray in small groups. And we're going to pray as a whole congregation. So if it stretches you a little bit too much, I invite you, you can just observe. You can just kind of take a look and open your eyes and kind of see how people pray. But for most of you, I want to encourage you to stretch yourself and get involved. Experience the Lord's Prayer together. Jesus said, "This is how you should pray." Notice Jesus didn't say, "This is what you should pray." Jesus was giving more than specific words on prayer. He was showing us a model of how to pray. He gave a model that Christians around the world have prayed for 2,000 years. And Jesus' prayer begins with a focus on God, his name, his kingdom, and his will. And the second half focuses on us, on our physical needs, our relational needs, and our spiritual needs. So in the Lord's Prayer, we give our present needs, our past sins, and our future temptations to a triune God. So I'm going to invite you to stand once more. And I want you, at the very beginning of our service, we want to pray the Lord's Prayer together, as we always do on every Communion Sunday. It's sort of a tradition here at Southgate Alliance. Let's pray it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. So the Lord's Prayer begins with God. That's a good model to start with praying. So often our prayers start with us, right? Lord, help me. Lord, give me. Notice we begin with the words, our Father, not my Father. Prayer isn't just about you and your needs. Don't forget about those people around you. Now, if you didn't have a great dad growing up, the image of father might not draw you close. But the image of dad is a picture of family intimacy. It's so much closer than God of the universe, as close as we understand you, you know. It's our Father. And we're God's children. And every prayer of Jesus in the New Testament is to his heavenly Father. So when we say this prayer, we come with our brothers and sisters, all of those who are true saints throughout history, from all denominations, Baptist, Pentecostals, Catholic, Orthodox, through the past 2,000 years. All have prayed this prayer. We're one family in relationship with our Heavenly Father. There's a story of a Roman emperor that was returning home with soldiers after a triumphant victory. And people lined the streets. And in one place, the empress sat with her son, the prince. And as his dad approached, the young boy jumped off the platform and ran through the crowd to his dad. And he was stopped by a legionnaire soldier. And he said, "Boy, you can't do that." Don't you know who that is? That's the emperor. The boy answered, well, he may be emperor to you, but to me, he's dad. And that's how we come to our Father in prayer. But it's our Father in heaven. God isn't just an impersonal force. He's our Father, the one who created us, loves us, and longs to have a relationship with us. But he's also our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven places side by side the love of God with the power of God. A.W. Tozer held that the greatest problem in the church in every generation was a low view of God. God is glorious. He's transcendent. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's totally other than us. You know, there's an old hymn, immortal, invisible, God only wise. God is much larger, much more than we can ever think and imagine. And then Jesus teaches us to say, hallowed be your name. Again, A.W. Tozer says, the essence of idolatry is the entertainment of thoughts about God that are unworthy of him. His name is holy. We give God the highest place in our lives. Psalm 115 says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. You know, the names of God reflect the character of God as he has revealed himself. The name contains the power of God as well as the presence of God. You know, we can... So here's some names of God in the Old Testament. The Lord, our righteousness. So it's Jesus who makes us righteous. The Lord who sanctifies, Jehovah Mekadesh. The Holy Spirit sets us apart and gives us victory over sin. The Lord is there. I'll never leave you or forsake you is God's promise. The Lord is peace. We can thank God for the peace we have with God through Jesus Christ and for the peace of God that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God is a God who heals. By Jesus' stripes we're healed. God's a God who provides. His divine power gives us everything that we need for life and godliness. And the Lord is my banner. We're more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. The Lord is my shepherd. God cares for us, leads us, feeds us, and protects us. If you gave God a name because of the way that you've experienced him, what name would you call God? See, I love Psalm 9, verse 10. It says, those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Have you ever wondered why God wants us to praise him? Does he need our praises? Need is not a word that we can properly apply to God. His ego doesn't need bolstering. We praise God, first of all, because he's worthy of our praise. You know, there's some qualities of God that we can never imitate. God's power, his omniscience, his Trinitarian nature. You can't imitate those things. You can simply praise and adore God. Who is like our God? But we also praise God because it develops our relationships. When my girls were little and one of my girls sat on my knee and said, Daddy, you know, you're the best daddy I've ever had. You know, I mean, I felt blessed and loved, and I believe God enjoys it when we praise him. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. And thirdly, we praise God because it's a part of the way that God's character is formed in us. There's an inward law of the soul that conforms us to that which we value, praise, and worship. Praise is for our good, that we might grasp the nature of God and become like him, because there are some of the qualities of God that we should imitate. And we just had a series about that around Christmas time and in January. Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God as beloved children. Be holy as I am holy. Love each other as I have loved you. God's name is hallowed when our lives are holy. So I want to invite you to stand once more. And I want to just invite us into a time of praise. There's some things up here. You can use this or not. But I want us to just shout out loud, praise God for some character that that is a part of who he is. Let's pray. It might be something that you've experienced of God lately. Come on, church.
praise you, God, that you are the faithful one.
Thank you, God.
Praise you, God, that you are Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
I praise you, God, just for watching over us.
Your kingdom come. The kingdom of God dominated the teaching of Jesus. His first sermon was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Most of the stories that Jesus told people were about the kingdom of God. See, his kingdom has already entered the world, but not in its fullness. And that's the tension of the kingdom. His miracles were evidence of kingdom power and testified to the love of the king. The kingdom of God doesn't just begin when we get to heaven. The kingdom of God is present whenever and wherever humans submit their wills to the king. Either you're working for God or you're working against him. And we live in a world that's in conflict because two kingdoms fight every day. Jesus' kingdom and the kingdom of darkness. So I want to ask a question. Whose kingdom are you building with your life, your money, your time, your prayers? So many of our prayers are about the kingdom of me. You know, the prayer, your kingdom come, is really a prayer that God would be king of our lives. We cry out for Jesus' kingdom power to be released in us every day. And you can lean into that conflict when you pray, Jesus, your kingdom come, let it begin with me. Cry out for his kingdom to come on earth, and not just for you to go to his kingdom when you die. King Jesus, may your purposes be done today through me. Help me to live for your purposes and goals. And if you know people who have not yet submitted their wills, people who are unbelievers in your family, and your friends, your co-workers, I want you to pray for them, that they would accept Jesus as their Lord, their King. And we look forward to the physical return and kingship of Jesus in our world. The early church wanted Jesus' power and authority manifested in their lives here on earth, but they also longed for the physical bodily return of Jesus, their Lord. They prayed, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. He was the servant king whom they loved, and they wanted him to return. So I want to invite you to take a time of personal prayer and just pray in the very bottom there. There's three kinds of prayers that you could pray. Take a minute and pray, God, may your kingdom come.
Father God, holy, worthy is your name. To be before you, Lord of the earth, a king above all kings, it is one who serves, a God who is just, yet is of unending mercies, of compassion, our sustainer, our deliverer. How incredible it is to call you our Lord. As one who never lets us down, even when all else fails, including ourselves. When time and time again we fall to temptation, we turn from you in anger, in disappointment, numbness, that you pursue, cherish, beholds, and calls us your own, to a point of surrendering your life on a cross that should have been ours. Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, who are we to deserve this? Your gracious love, kindness, that you are our God. Here today we call to you, Spirit of the living God, redeem, restore us. May your presence give us light in a dark and ever-darkening world. Light our way, our paths. Faithful one, the one who never forsakes, make us new. Search our hearts and convict us at our deepest levels of any offense against you, and have mercy. Blot out our transgressions, and bring us to joy in your presence. In brokenness, but in hope, we call to you. Give us a heart that loves only what you love, and will you draw near? Be our purpose, be our all. May this offering further your kingdom here on earth and be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ushers, if you would come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The second part of Jesus' prayer is through Hebrew parallelism. It helps restate what it means for God's kingdom to come. So it's, Lord, bring your kingdom into this world and begin through me. Prayer must never be an attempt to bend the will of God to our desires. Prayer should always be an attempt to submit our will to the will of God. Jesus was faced with a difficult decision in the garden of Gethsemane to save his own life or die for the sins of the world. And he didn't want to die. He prayed, God, if there's any other way, help me find another way. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You represent God's kingdom. When you go to someone who's sick and pray for healing, you bring the kingdom of God with you, the healing touch of Jesus Christ. When you feed the hungry, the provision of Jesus' kingdom accompanies you. We pray for God's will to be done in us and through us. If you were to make an assessment of the world and the problems here that we see in the world, what would you see that is sort of opposite to the kingdom of Jesus? You know, you might see famine and pray for God's provision. You might see war and pray for God's peace. You might see sexual exploitation and pray for justice. You might see sickness and pray for God's healing. When you look at the world that we live in, you can't help but see a kingdom in conflict with the kingdom of heaven. Do you believe the word of Scripture in Revelation 11:15 that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and that he will reign forever and ever? Because if you believe that, you can pray it into reality according to God's word. Are you ready to do God's will, whatever he says? I want to invite you now to move into small groups of 3, 4, 5 people. The number doesn't really matter to me, but just small people that you can sort of group. Jesus said where 2 or 3 are gathered, he's there. And I want you just to gather quickly in a group and pray for something that you see in the world that isn't right, that is against God's kingdom, and pray that God would undo that. So do that right now. Groups of 3 or 4, you can move around. This is a part where you can move a little bit. It's okay. Meet your neighbor. At least meet them and learn their name. Okay, I'm going to invite you just to close off. Jesus continues. He says, "Give us today our daily bread." This begins the section of prayer where we speak to God about our needs, food, relationships, and spiritual purity. And notice this comes after the petition for the coming of God's kingdom. Jesus said, "Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all the things you need, food, clothes, shelter, will be added to you." First seek God's kingdom and then your own needs. Now, it's not wrong to pray about your needs. God's a good father and he enjoys giving good gifts to his children. But it's interesting to note that Jesus says our Heavenly Father knows what we need before we even ask. So if God knows what we need, why do we even need to pray at all? Well, first of all, because politely asking is part of any relationship. You know, as a dad, I know what my children need. And I also know when they're asking me for something that they don't need, they just want. But if they want me to do something that they can do themselves, like clean up their room, I'll suggest it's their responsibility. Right? But when my kids ask me for something they really need, help to fix something, drive somewhere, you know, money that they don't have, I give them what they need. All the same time, I like it when they ask politely. But this part of the prayer may be understood to talk about our physical and financial needs. In Jesus' day, laborers were paid an absurdly low wage at the end of the working day. And they'd spend everything that they earned on daily sustenance. I think Jesus was teaching his followers to rely on God to provide. I think Jesus is quoting here Proverbs chapter 30. "Give me neither poverty nor riches, give me only my daily bread." Not too much, not too little. Not too much wealth that I could forget about God. Not too much work that I have no time for God. But not too little that I'd have to beg or give in to temptation to steal or cheat. Jesus is going to provide for our financial needs when we follow him. The stories of George Mueller, who ran an orphanage simply by asking God to meet their needs, provides incredible testimony to the miraculous provision of God in response to prayer. And other physical needs could also be described in this idea of daily bread. If you need divine healing, it's appropriate to ask God for that. Jesus doesn't just offer soul salvation, he offers whole salvation, mind, body, and spirit. And thirdly, we need to understand the spiritual component of this request. There's something more than bread being asked for here. Every Jew must have thought about the daily provision of manna that God provided as they wandered in the wilderness. For 40 years, God fed Israel with manna daily. Every day, they had to go and collect it from the ground. If they didn't collect enough, they went hungry. If they collected too much, it spoiled. It was supernatural provision. In the Gospel of John 6:48, Jesus teaches that the people in the wilderness ate manna, but they eventually died. But Jesus is the living bread from heaven. When you have Jesus living in you, you'll live forever. Jesus is our daily bread. The one who believes in Jesus will receive the Holy Spirit. Our loving Heavenly Father will give us more of his Holy Spirit if we ask. So in this next section, if there's something you need, a job, food, clothing, or you just need more of God, then I want you to ask. And it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. But remember the words Jesus taught. Give us today our daily bread. We receive what he gives and we share our daily bread with others who have need. I want you to go back in your groups and we're just going to play a song in the background as we're praying. And I want you to pray about the things that you need. If you need healing, pray for healing. If you need a job, pray for jobs. And if you need just more of God, pray for more of God. Go ahead.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me.
Call you to just end your time of prayer together. I know it's hard in each group. Everybody's in a different place, and it's tough to get on the same page, but just we're learning something good. We're learning by doing. Jesus continues to teach us, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Out of all the character qualities that make for effective relationships, I can't think of any quality more important than a heart that's humble and ready to ask for forgiveness when mistakes are made. I love the way Jesus says it here, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Really? Is that true? Do you forgive everyone who sins against you? See, Jesus ties our forgiveness to our forgiving. Our readiness to forgive should match our need for our forgiveness. Jesus says in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive men their sins, your Father won't forgive your sins. Ouch. That's hard. There's all kinds of hurtful things people do to each other, right? Hurting people hurt others. There's fathers who abuse their wife and children. There's friends who stab each other in the back. There's drivers who cut you off. There's big and little. And some of the things that others have done to you may be very hard for you to forgive. It may seem impossible. But don't forget your own wicked heart. Your sins separate you from God. Do you have a heart that's selfish, covetous, proud, money-loving, pleasure-loving, abusive, disobedient to parents? Those are all sins we need to pray about. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Peter once asked Jesus how many times we need to forgive somebody. Up to 7 times, right? 3 was the norm in Jewish society. So he's thinking, okay, Jesus, he's like double and more. So he's got 3, double that, 6. Let's go to 7. Jesus was always raising the bar. Jesus said 70 times 7, and he didn't mean 490, but then load up. Jesus meant our readiness to forgive should match our need for forgiveness. So here's the question. How often do you want to be forgiven by God? 7 times? 490? Or would you like to know there's an endless supply of grace and forgiveness coming your way in Jesus? If you want grace, you must give it. As St. Francis of Assisi prayed, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned. As a response to this part of the Lord's Prayer, let's imagine someone from our congregation praying the Lord's Prayer. What would happen if we could hear the voice of God talking back to us, dialoguing? Take a look.
There it is. Matthew 6. Our Father, who art in heaven.
Yes?
Don't interrupt me. I'm praying.
But you called me.
Called you? I didn't call anybody. I didn't call you. I'm praying. Our Father, who art in heaven.
There. You did it again.
Did what?
Called me. You said, our Father, who art in heaven. Here I am. What's on your mind?
But I didn't mean anything by it. I was just saying my daily prayers, you know? I like to say the Lord's Prayer every day. It makes me feel good, gives me those warm fuzzies, you know? It's kind of like getting a job done.
All right. Go on.
Hallowed be thy name.
Hold it. What do you mean by that?
By what?
By hallowed be thy name.
It means... Well, good grief, I don't know what it means. How should I know? It's just part of the prayer. By the way, what does it mean?
It means honored, holy, wonderful.
Oh, well, that makes sense. I mean, I guess I've never really thought about what the word hallowed means before. But... Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Do you really mean that?
Well, sure. Why not?
Well, what are you going to do about it?
Do? Nothing, I suppose. I just think that it would be rather good if you got control of everything down here like you do of everything up there.
Have I got control of you?
Well, I go to church.
That isn't what I asked you. What about your bad temper? You've really got a problem there, you know. And then there's the way you spend your money, all on yourself. And what about the kind of books you read?
Stop picking on me. I am just as good as some of the rest of the Christians down there at the church.
Excuse me? I thought you were praying for my will to be done. If that's to happen, it'll have to start with the ones who are praying for it, like you, for example.
All right. And I guess I do have some issues that I need to work out. Now that you mention it, I could probably name a few others.
So could I.
I haven't thought about it very much until now, but I guess since you're here... I really would like to cut some of that stuff out of my life. I would like to, you know, be really free.
Good. Now we're getting somewhere. We'll work together, you and I. Some victories can truly be won. I'm proud of you.
Look, Lord, I really need to finish up here. This is taking a lot longer than it normally does. So, okay. Give us today our daily bread.
You need to cut out the bread. You're overweight as it is.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What is this, criticize me day? Here I was, just doing my religious duty, doing those spiritual push-ups, and it suddenly you break in here, and you're just, like, bringing up all of my problems.
Prayer's a dangerous thing. You could wind up changed, you know. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. You called me, and here I am. Well, it's too late to stop now. Keep on praying. I'm rather interested in the next part of your prayer. Come on, go on.
I'm scared.
Scared of what?
Well, I know what you're gonna say, man.
Try me and see.
Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors.
What about Bill?
See, I knew it. I knew that you were going to bring up Bill. Why, Lord? He has lied to me. He's spread lies about me. He's cheated me of my money. And he never repays his debts. I have sworn to get even with this guy.
But your prayer. What about your prayer?
Well, I didn't mean it.
Well, at least you're honest. But it's not much fun carrying that load of bitterness around inside, is it?
No, but I will feel better as soon as I get even with Bill. Boy, have I got plans for this guy. He's going to wish that he never messed with me.
You won't feel any better. You'll feel worse. Revenge isn't sweet. Think of how unhappy you already are. But I can change all that.
You can? How?
Forgive Bill. Then I'll forgive you. Then the hate and sin will be Bill's problem and not yours. You may lose the money, but you'll have settled your heart.
But Lord, I don't think you get it. I can't forgive Bill.
Then I can't forgive you.
You're right. You always are. And more than I want revenge on Bill, I guess I want to be right with you. All right. Okay, I forgive him. Help him to find the right road in life. Lord, he's bound to be awfully miserable right about now, going around doing the things that he does to other people. Someone has to be really, really mixed up inside. Some way, somehow, show him the right path.
There. Now, how do you feel?
Huh. Well, not bad. You know, not bad at all. I feel quite tremendous, actually. I think for the first time since I can remember, I can finally go to bed without feeling tense. Maybe I won't be so tired anymore because I'm not getting enough sleep.
You're not through with your prayer. Go on.
Oh, right. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Good, good. I'll do that. Just don't put yourself in a place where you can be tempted.
What do you mean?
Well, you might have to change some of your friendships. Some of your so-called friends are beginning to get you down. They'll have you completely involved in wrong things before long. Don't be fooled. They advertise they're having fun, but for you it would be ruin. And don't use me for an escape hatch.
I'm sorry, Lord. I really am. Up until now, I always thought that praying was just enough. I didn't expect you to answer back like this.
Go ahead and finish your prayer.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Do you know what would bring me glory? What would really make me happy?
No, but I like to know. I want to please you. More than anything, now I know how good it would be to be a real follower of you, God.
You just answered the question.
I did?
Yes. The thing that would bring me glory is to have people like you truly love and follow me. And I see that happening between us. Now that some of those old sins are exposed and out of the way, well, there's no telling what we can do together.
Let's see what we can make of me. Okay, God?
Yeah, let's see.
Thank you, Charmaine, for helping us see ourselves a little bit more clearly in that little sketch. Well, we need to finish up here. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I think this is most likely a figure of speech. Litotes, use of understatement by Jesus, asking God not to lead us into temptation. Of course, God won't lead you into temptation. God doesn't tempt people, but he does allow us to be tested. Everyone who's a serious seeker of God will be tested. Jesus himself was tested, like metal tested before being used in a great engineering project. It's tested far beyond the levels it will ever have to bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that God will never allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. When you're tempted to sin, God will provide a way out, but you have to use the exit door. Prayer is the exit door. In prayer, we keep watch for the temptations of the enemy. Learn to discern the voices that are going on inside you and the voices of temptation all around that are calling you to disobey God. Listen for God's voice. Be led by his Holy Spirit. He'll never lead you into sin. He'll never lead you to do something that will break your relationship with God. He'll lead you away from temptation. He'll give you the strength to resist evil. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I think we're going to have to just move through this. And what I'd like to do is, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. The Lord's Prayer begins and ends with a focus on his kingdom and his power and his glory. We pray to God, we pray through Jesus, we pray in the power of the Holy Spirit for his glory. The chief purpose of humanity is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. I want to invite you to stand as we sing the doxology. We're just going to sing this a cappella. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I can't preach about prayer today, not call you to prayer as an application. So this week, I want to invite you to pray the Lord's Prayer at least once every day. 30 seconds is all it takes. And I'd like us to pray the Lord's Prayer one more time, but this time from the Message Bible. Let's read it together and see how this version reads together. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best. As above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes. Well, we're going to end our time, our Lord's Prayer experience, with communion. I've asked some of the elders and prayer team people to be ready to pray with you if you need someone. Maybe you need someone to pray with you about some physical ailment, some part of sin that's got a hold on you. Maybe you just need to go in your prayer closet and be alone after the service. God will reward you. In communion, though, we refocus our eyes on Jesus. We've prayed, give us this day our daily bread. Well, here's bread. Jesus is the living bread. He said, this is my body, which is for you. And here's juice. Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. While we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. He loves and accepts us. You don't have to hide your sin from him. You just confess it to him and receive his forgiveness. And we remember also that God raised Jesus from the dead. He's the one we worship. We serve him, our living king. He's the one who gives us all that we need for life and godliness. He gives us the power to forgive others and the power to live holy lives. We're going to play one more song, Good, Good Father. And I want to invite you to come. I don't want you to wait. As soon as you come, I want you to take it. You can pray there at each table. There's four different places all around the sanctuary. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you don't have to be a member of our church. I want you to go and to receive communion. And if you want to pray with someone, I want the elders and the prayer team to be the first ones here receive it. Let's go now as we end our service.